Success Live with the Reverend Donald Gordon Carty, Ph.D. Sunday Sermon, The Message of Isaiah the Prophet. The book of Isaiah is a miniature Bible. It has 66 chapters, just as the Bible has 66 books. The first 39 chapters of Isaiah speak for the most part of law and judgment, just as the 39 books of the Old Testament. The last 27 chapters of Isaiah speak of comfort, restoration, and mercy under the Messiah, just as the 27 books of the New Testament speak of Jesus the Christ. Isaiah contains a bit of all that is found in the rest of the Bible. Isaiah's message covers about every theme and doctrine of the Bible. Isaiah preached for over a period of about 40 years. There are many great verses and chapters in the book of Isaiah. One who studies the book cannot but be inspired by Isaiah chapter 6, where Isaiah meets the Lord, or Isaiah chapter 14, where the fall of Satan from heaven is described, or Isaiah 38, where the Lord gives weeping Hezekiah 15 more years to live, Isaiah 53, where we find the prophecy of the crucifixion detailed over 800 years before it occurred. I want us to look into this great book for a few moments and consider six of the great statements made in the book and their application to us in our day. The first great statement, the promise of forgiveness. Come now, and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. Isaiah 1:18. What a message to the world in which we live. It is a fact. It is a command. It is an invitation. It is a promise. Notice the invitation. Come. There are 642 personal invitations in the Bible to come, and in every case, it is God who gives the invitation. Come thou and thy family into the ark. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Suffer the little children to come unto me. The Spirit and the bride say, Come, and let him that heareth say, Come, and let him that is athirst come. Come means action and a change of direction. You do not usually tell someone to come who is coming. You tell someone to come who is standing still or going in another direction. Notice the time. Now. Now is the accepted time. 2 Corinthians 6:2. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. Proverbs 27:1. Today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Hebrews 3:7. What a message to those who say they have plenty of time. Notice the main characters, us, you, and God. Notice the possibilities, forgiveness and cleansing. Crimson indicates glaring sins. Crimson was an indelible color. They could not get it out of anything it got into. Man cannot get rid of his sins either. God can forgive and cleanse the worst of sinners. The second great statement, the promise of peace. You will keep in perfect peace the mind stayed on you, for he trusts in you. Isaiah 26:3. This promise of peace was given to the nation in a very dark period of their history. This is a promise for times of trouble and trial, disappointment and temptation, tears, anguish, loss and bereavement. In times of sunshine, this promise may seem unimportant, but in dark days, this promise becomes very precious. Notice that the promise of peace is not to take the trouble away from us, but to give us peace in the midst of our trouble. But what kind of peace is God offering? Perfect peace. There is no room in a soul at perfect peace for such things as jealousy, envy, discontent, selfishness, pride, criticism, fear, or anxiety. How perfect? Perfect in kind. If God promises a peace that is perfect, then he is not speaking of an imperfect one. Perfect in quantity. The supply is able to meet the need. Philippians 4:7 speaks of a peace of heart and mind. perfect in constancy. This peace is not off and on, up and down. There are two requirements. Our mind must be stayed on him. We must trust in him. The third great statement, the promise of guidance. And your ear shall hear a word behind you, saying, this is the way, walk in it, when you go right or when you go left. Isaiah 30:21. We need the guidance of the Lord, lest we miss eternal reward. We need the guidance of the Lord, lest we get in trouble. Galatians 5:18 speaks of the leading of the Spirit. Psalms 23:2, he leadeth me. The fourth great statement, the promise of strength. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord, the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, he is not faint, nor grow weary. There is no searching to his understanding. He gives power to the faint, and to him with no vigor he increases might. Even youths are faint and fatigued, and young men surely shall stumble. But the ones waiting for the Lord shall renew power. They shall go up with wings as the eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. Isaiah 40:28-31. Many times the people of God faint and have no strength. That's verse 29. Many times we get weary and fall. Verse 30. We know this from God's word, but we see it in others by observation and in our own lives by experience. What does God promise us here? He promises strength in the place of weakness. Renew in verse 31 means exchange. God will exchange your physical weakness, mental weakness, moral weakness, and spiritual weakness into strength. What does God promise us here? He promises us life above the average. Eagles are birds that live on the highest plane. They can fly higher and go further than lesser species of birds. We can be like them with God's help. He promises us that we can do supernatural things. We will able to be run and not be weary. This is not natural, but God promises us his help in doing the supernatural because we are supernatural people linked to a supernatural God. He promises us that we shall live victoriously in the hardest place of all, which is the daily routine of life. We shall walk and not be faint. Now, why don't we have this in our experience? Two reasons. First, we are ignorant of his resources at our disposal. Note Isaiah 40:28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? What is at our disposal? Isaiah 40:28. The everlasting God is at our disposal. Second, we fail to tap these resources. We don't know and we don't take, yet God is willing to give. The fifth great statement, the promise of protection. But now, so says the Lord who formed you, O Jacob, and he who made you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I called you by your name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk in the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame kindle on you. Isaiah 43:1-2. There are many verses in the Bible that tell me that the Lord will protect me. Psalm 91 is filled with them. Psalm 37 is another passage. Psalms 147 says, Lord, you have covered my head in the day of battle. You find one of the great promises of protection for God's people here in this passage. Water and fire are the greatest natural threats to mankind. This promise reminds me of Noah, the children of Israel at the Red Sea and the River Jordan, and the three Hebrew children. The sixth great statement, the promise of restoration. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the vain man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. Isaiah 55, verses 6 to 8. Notice the basis of the restoration in verse 6. It is the Lord. If you are ever going to come to God or return to God, then he is the only one to come to. But you had better do it while he may be found. If you cross the bounds of mercy, he cannot be found. If you die unsaved, then he cannot be found. If Jesus comes again before you accept him, then he cannot be found. If you search your conscience and harden your heart, he may not be found. Notice the hindrances to restoration in verse 7. They are wicked ways and unrighteous thoughts. They are the things you do and the things you think. God destroyed the world of Noah's day because their thoughts were on the evil continually. As a man thinketh, so is he. Proverbs 23:7. Verse 11, God promises his word will work with you. In verse 1, God has paid it all if you will but come. In verses 12 to 13, it tells you of the benefits of coming. In closing, I would like to quote two other pertinent passages. Come to me, all those laboring and being burdened, and I will give you rest. Matthew 11:28. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will go into him, and I will dine with him, and he with me. Revelations 3:20. Seek the Lord. Thirsty? Come to him. Have no money? Come freely to him, but come now, while there is time to come. God bless you all. Amen.
Lord, you have told us, and Lord, you have promised that if your people would pray, you would hear from
told us, Lord.
Hear from heaven.